The Barbarian Tribes of Rome, The Gallic Wars, Part 3, The End. Now, after the fighting with the Suebi and the Belgae, Caesar was engaging Germanic tribes as well east of the Rhine. Caesar launched a series of invasions then against the Britons, the Celtic tribe that lived in modern-day Britain. But bad weather and the underestimation of the size and strength of the Britons weakened the Romans and almost led to their defeat. However, Caesar was able to regroup and return to Britain in 54 BCE with a much larger army, conquering the Britons and the Catuvinani, another powerful Celtic tribe in Britain. However, he was unable to hold onto these territories for very long, largely because the Roman political institutions were not strong enough to consolidate power this far from the center. These victories did help him stay in the center of public discussions in Rome, although many saw these campaigns as costly and essentially useless. After his campaigns in Britain in 55 and 54 BCE, Caesar had gained control over much of Gaul. But in 53 BCE, a rebellion broke out amongst the Ubroni tribe in the northeastern part of Gaul. Caesar marched his armies into the territory and all but exterminated the tribe, securing the area for the Romans. However, the rebellion was not over in Gaul. To the south, the Arverni tribe, another group of Celts and one of the most powerful in all of Gaul, launched an uprising against Rome in 52 BCE. When they did this, they brought many Celtic tribes together to join their cause, turning this into a full-scale Gallic rebellion. Not wanting to lose the gains he had made over the previous years, Caesar chose to respond with force. United under the king and chieftain of the Arverni tribe, Vercingetorix, the Celts who had chosen to rebel against Caesar while he was campaigning in northern Gaul and Britain were in significant danger by 52 BCE, as the rebellious Gauls were running out of places to go. Vercingetorix, in lieu of surrendering or trying to engage Caesar in battle, chose to retreat to Alesia, an important population center for the Mendubi, which was a confederation of Celtic tribes who occupied much of what is now central France. Seeing this as an opportunity to squash the rebellion completely, Caesar marched his armies to Alesia and decided to besiege the city, intending to cut it off from all supplies until the Celtic armies inside died of starvation or surrendered. Estimates indicate that there are around 80,000 people inside the walls of Alesia, and to cut them off, Caesar built a set of fortifications around the city 10 miles, 16 kilometers long. Fighting took place during the construction, but the Romans were able to fight them off. However, because Vercingetorix was able to sneak some of his troops out and send them to other parts of Gaul to rally support for the defense of Alesia, Caesar had to embark on an even more ambitious construction project. For example, he built trenches some 2,000 feet, 500 meters, behind the Roman lines and also constructed parapets and fences to make it easier for his soldiers to defend themselves against attack from the city or from behind. However, while Caesar's military fortifications were elaborate and effective, what really helped him win the battle was Alesia's dwindling food supply and his ruthless treatment of the rebels. For example, facing a rapidly dwindling food supply, Vercingetorix sent the city's women and children out of the city, hoping Caesar would take them as hostages and feed them. But he refused, so the Gauls had no choice but to try and attack. When the armies from elsewhere in Gaul arrived, Vercingetorix ordered a dual attack in which those inside the city attacked the inner parts of the Roman line and those outside attacked the back end. However, this was unsuccessful. After several more days of similar attempts, Vercingetorix and his other commanders realized they would not be able to defeat the Romans, and so they chose to surrender, ending the Gallic rebellion and placing all of Gaul firmly under Roman control. This battle was the last time the Gauls were ever able to seriously resist Roman rule, and it marked the effective end of the Gallic Wars. Caesar was honored by the Roman Senate for his victories, and Gaul was made a province of Rome. Over time, the people living in Gaul, especially the Celts, became incorporated into the Roman Empire and adopted the Roman way of life, eventually achieving the status of citizen. However, during the early years of Romanization, some aspects of Celtic culture still remained, mainly their language. But over time, Roman influence became so strong that continental Celtic disappeared and was replaced by Vulgate Latin. Caesar's Gallic Wars were significant in that they officially made Gaul a Roman territory. Furthermore, his victory won him considerable prestige in Rome, and he used this power to start the civil war that eventually resulted in him being named supreme military dictator of Rome. When this happened in 45 BCE, it paved the way for the Roman Empire to be formed. Gaul was divided into several provinces and ruled according to Roman custom. The formation of the empire after the conquest of Gaul launched a new era in Roman history and changed the course of human history forever. However, when looking at this movement in history from the perspective of the Celts, it's difficult to say what the impact was. Some argue that being conquered by the Romans and being incorporated in the Roman Empire was a good thing. It brought stability to the region, bringing an end to the constant infighting that defined much of Celtic history up until this point in time. But on the other hand, it halted a period of growth in Celtic history. Who knows what might have happened if the Celtic culture had been given a chance to develop further after the Celtic migration. Another important thing to come out of the Gallic Wars is that the center of Celtic culture shifted from continental to insular Europe. Caesar managed to briefly conquer some of the tribes in Britain, but these gains didn't last, and many of these tribes remained free and independent. And with the rest of the territories controlled by the continental Celts incorporated into the Roman Empire, the British Isles became the center of Celtic culture and linguistic development. And the remains of Celtic culture that still exist today come from these Celts who managed to stay relatively free from Roman control. So next we'll begin looking at the insular Celts and see how they're doing. Now the source for this, The Germanic People, Their Origin, Expansion, and Culture by Owens, Civilization of the Celts by Launay, Civilization of the Steppes by Conrad. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.